Hey, babies! Welcome to the Dr. Beauty Podcast hosted by me, Dr. Anna Guanche. I'm so excited you're here. We plan to educate, inspire, and entertain you. This podcast is not just about beauty. It's about lifestyle, inspiration, life hacks, and of course, beauty. So we're here with Kevin Porter.
Kevin Porter.
Otherwise known as Batman.
The Batman.
And Laser from Dodgeball. And I'm so excited to have Kevin here. Tell us, have you ever seen a dermatologist?
No.
No?
No, no, you're the first dermatologist I've ever met.
Well, that's nice.
I may have met someone, but they didn't. You don't say, hi, I'm a dermatologist.
That's true.
Can you hand me the weight? I may have met one, but no. Congratulations. You make the world a pretty place.
Aw, thank you.
Thank you for making pretty people pretty people prettier.
Yep, that's
write that one down.
The goal of this podcast.
I don't even know why I'm here.
Is to educate.
There's a goal? I thought this was the goal.
This is the goal. The goal is to educate, inspire, and entertain.
Can I ask questions?
You can ask anything. I don't know if I'll answer it.
So you went to school in Louisiana, Baton Rouge.
I sure did.
How'd you like it there?
It was awesome.
Where'd you
go, Tigers?
Oh yeah, where are you from originally?
Well, I'm from California. I grew up in Montebello.
That's a big change. It's a huge change. I lived in Baton Rouge, and it's about this big. Geographically and a lot of times just emotionally.
Yeah, mentally, emotionally, it's a very small town.
Yeah, but great food.
But the food in Louisiana in general is unparalleled. Dangerous. There is nowhere else that I've found food like that. So when I go to Louisiana, I just work out for 2 hours, eat whatever I want, get up in the morning, work out for 2 hours, eat whatever I want because the food's unbelievable.
You have to do that. I go back every year for the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And you're familiar with Kenner, right outside of New Orleans. Uh-huh. It's in between New Orleans in Baton Rouge. And I wake up every morning and I work out and then I eat everything. I was just in Baton Rouge last year shooting a series and I was there for like 4 months. And it was a small little town, Jackson, right outside Baton Rouge. So it was a town outside of a smaller town. And I didn't want to leave. And you
food
were there
so
for
good.
4 years, 6 years?
8 years. I was there for undergrad and medical school. So 8 years. And it was amazing and a lot of fun. People there know how to party. Mm-hmm. People there know how to drink. And they don't just drink a little bit. They drink to get drunk. They're dancing all night long.
They know how to live.
Yes.
In the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And as was with my family, unfortunately, it hits them later on in life. But they live in the moment. They have the biggest TVs you're going to find. They drink the most. They eat the most. And they enjoy life the most. And that was my family. There was just so much love that everyone had. And that's one thing I guess that's their legacy that they passed on to me was just the love for life and the love for the people that are around them.
It's something that I missed when I came back to California, because when I moved from California to Louisiana, I was sitting in the front row, of course, of my pre-med class. And I sat down and some guys next to me said, "Good morning, how you doing?" I looked at him. And then I looked at him again and again. And I could not place him. Mm-hmm. He's like, "I'm just saying good morning."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, wow. We don't do that in California. Nobody talks to you unless they want something or they've known you for 10 years. And so at first I was shocked. It was culture shock. Mm-hmm. And then after I came back, I was shocked again at how nobody says good morning and no, your neighbors don't speak to you half the time. And so it's an interesting thing. But I think the South stays in you no matter where you move to.
I brought it here. I brought some of that pixie dust. Mm-hmm. I waved to everyone in a car and people make fun of me. And God forbid if they have a car that's like mine. We got the same car.
The same
and
car.
They're like, "Yeah, what year is that? Same year."
Oh my God.
And my friends say, "You know, you talk a lot." And I go, I said, "Why not? People are a gift. This person's a gift and they're a doorway to another world, which is their world. And I just want to know everyone."
So you were Laser on Dodgeball.
Oh, we're getting into the Dodgeball thing.
Yes. I want to hear.
Yes. Dodgeball, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I'll work backwards. I'll go now and then I'll go back then. Monday, we're having a reunion of the Purple Cobras. And the first time we've gotten together in like 5 years. And so I'm very excited about that.
That's going to be fun.
Being a Purple Cobra is something that you share and no one else knows what it's like because it's this halfway decent movie. It was a good movie. Did 100 million plus, but it just didn't stop. They just didn't stop airing it. And it got bigger and it got bigger. And then the quotes just started getting bigger and bigger. And here we are 17 years later, which is crazy. And in society, it's bigger than it was when it came out. Love and it. So we share that. Oh, you're Laser from Dodgeball. And then I'm having dinner with Blazer from Dodgeball and Fran from Dodgeball, Michelle from Dodgeball, and Blade from Dodgeball.
I just want to know, like, how much taller than Ben Stiller are you?
A lot. Can I say that? Is that okay? Well, should I not have said that, ma'am?
I mean, I
he's it's tiny, like, it's, but he was in I've great
been,
shape.
I've been holding that question in.
Yeah. Well, I'm 6'5".
I know he's in great shape.
I'm 6'5", and he's less than, I don't know. I stopped counting. Yeah. If you're under 6, I just group you into a category.
He's grouping me into a category.
You're 6. You got to be close.
I'm 6 with my heels
Let's
on.
Let's go with that.
Let's go with that. I'll take it.
And
I don't want to be lumped.
I don't want to lump you. No, okay. And so, yeah, he was in great shape. He was, if you remember the zone, do you remember people were like the zone diet and people would get them delivered in boxes and then you would eat and everything's pre-portioned. I remember he was eating those while we're over in like the tent and just eating noodles and just eating everything.
Pigging out. Where was it filmed?
It was filmed here, Las Vegas. When I say here, the majority of it was down in Long Beach, like at a high school down there. And it was a brilliant high. The gym was huge.
So you didn't have any Louisiana food there, apparently.
No. But the catering was
incredible. It was good?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Catering is always good on set. It's always good. Because people are walking on eggshells like, you won't like it. I'm like, are you kidding me? Roast beef? How do you mess roast beef up?
I love it.
Yes. So 2003, I just come off Daredevil. And General Hospital. I was doing theater at Granada Hills Dinner Theater, which I would love. That was my passion. I got paid $7 a show, and I was like, I'm a paid stage actor.
That's right. And tips.
We had done the first read-through, and then I was called into audition for Dodgeball, and I was getting further and further along. And then when it got to the point where it looked like I was going to book this, I'm like, ooh. And they're like, yeah, it's a Ben Stiller movie. At the time, it was called Underdogs. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness they changed it. And then I said, what's the shooting schedule? And it was a lot. It was a lot of days. And it conflicted with the play. Mm-mm. And now, granted, I was still making $7 a show.
That's okay? A lot of money.
At the time, maybe,
pass up.
Don't judge me. At the time, maybe
I'm
it was
not
a lot.
Judging? Are you kidding? Yes. I come from nothing.
Yes. So I went to, his name is George Stratton. And this is the third show that I'd been in with him, theatrical production. And I said, George, this is what's happening. And he was a wonderful older gentleman. He's still with us. And I said, I was offered this opportunity. And he says, well, Kevin, will it help your career? I said, I think it will. I really do think it will. And he said, then I will not stand in the way. I will recast you and be your biggest fan. Yeah, and he was such a sweet gentleman. The movie comes out about a year later. I think it came out in June of 2004.
Were they able to match your income? I mean.
I had my agent say, if they could pay me more than seven. And about a year later, I say, hey, George, what are you doing on Tuesday? It was all planned, all calculated. And he's like, I said, okay. And so we met at, do you remember the Red Rock that used to be on Sunset? Great little place. I go there and I get there really early and I talk to the hostess. I chose this restaurant strategically and I position myself where I'm going to sit. And then he comes in. And I said, George, I just want to take you to lunch to thank you for letting me out of the show. I saw the show. It was amazing. I was heartbroken that I wasn't in it because it was beautiful. And he's like, oh, well, how'd it work out for you? I get emotional sometimes because this is one of those Hollywood moments. And I said, George, turn around and look above you. And he turned around and there was a big Dodgeball billboard.
Aww.
And there I am on it with my fellow Purple Cobras. And it was such a wonderful Hollywood moment. And he looked over and I planned the whole thing. And he got emotional and he said, I'm so proud of you, Kevin. And that to me was worth it. I worked with these amazing group of people. I worked with great director Rawson. Ben Stiller was incredible work. Vince Vaughn was fun to watch. But more importantly, it's the friendships that I made with the other Cobras because we are encouraged to eat together, to work out together, to group together. And there's friends to this day But also, you know, going through airport security, you laser in dodgeball? I said, yes, I was. What drives me crazy is they'll go, weren't you blazer? And I'll go, no, I was not. No, I was not blazer.
Offense taken.
Yes. And I say, do I look like blazer? And actually, I kind of do.
So since then, you've played Batman a few times, I understand.
That's an interesting story. I answered a casting, or my agent sent me a casting, and I read it, and it said, looking for actors to portray Batman for live appearances around the world. Raise your hand if that doesn't sound cool. And so I'm like, yeah, I could do that. So I go there, and it's at Warner Brothers. And I'm like, well, damn, this is legit. And they brought me in, you know, and they said, do the voice. I did the voice. Walk this way, turn this way, do this, put the suit on. And I ended up getting cast as the live appearance Batman. So whenever you need a Batman for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade or for a big store opening, to get up at the mall like you're Santa Claus, you know, in the center court, everywhere. I went all over the world doing Batman.
Love it.
And it was great. And then I was approached at Comic-Con 2003, big year for me. And by Aaron Shonkey and his father. They're the producers of Bat and the Sun. We did a Batman Vader mashup, and it collectively 40 million views.
I did ridiculous. A little research on it last night.
And what'd you find out?
I mean, it's fascinating, and that suit looks really good on you.
Well,
these
thank
are
you.
The things I noticed.
Thank you.
Okay. And you know, I'm all about appearances.
Yes.
You looked ripped, and you looked awesome. Did you have to work out a lot for that role?
Worked out a lot.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is I had to get smaller and smaller. I will swing. And this isn't an exaggeration, 50 pounds within a year.
Wow.
50 pounds. I'm down 50 pounds from where I was in April. I was 275, and I'm about 228 right now, just for roles.
Does that suit, like, feel scratchy, or is it, like, uncomfortable?
Does the suit feel scratchy?
Is it, like, a scratchy suit?
It's
or
a
is
scratchy
like
suit, suit.
But you feel at home in the suit.
No, I don't. It's a scratchy suit.
It's scratchy.
Yeah,
okay, okay.
Being grim and the Dark Knight is not difficult at all. Being in the, you put that suit on, and you're just in a bad mood.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Batman is perpetually grumpy. And so
it's perfect.
Yes. One thing I learned from Michael Keaton, once told me in an interview that he was doing for somebody else, but I saw it on YouTube, just let the suit do the talking. Put the suit on, and you don't wear
and
the
you're
suit.
Grumpy
the, suit
anyway.
The suit wears you.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, and I found that I've got a niche. I think we all should find a niche. I've got a lane. My niche
definitely.
Is Batman. It's pretty strong. I'm very impressed with my Batman. I'll put my Batman against anyone.
Were you a Batman fan growing up?
I may do
up?
The voice for you later.
You
yes.
should do it now. I want to hear the Batman voice.
Okay,
I'm ready.
Give me.
I'm listening.
All right, here you go. First of all, you have to go deep inside of yourself. It's a dark place.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place that not often you want to go to, because I'm always afraid that once I go there, I'm never coming back. But I will come back now.
He came back.
I'm back. Yes.
Well, what is your next project? Tell us about that.
Okay. Gosh, I'm in a series called The Watchers, which is a faith-based series. I played the Archangel Michael, and I had gone from doing Legend of the White Dragon, which is Jason David Frank, the legendary Power Ranger. He's such an amazing, amazing person. And it had a strong cast. That's what they wanted. They said, Kevin, I want you to come in as big as you can possibly get. And I'm like, well, okay. And I was very proud of the size that I had gained. And it's an action film.
Are we talking muscle gains or waist gains?
It was definitely 80 muscle, 20 waist.
Okay.
Thank you for that. All right. So
I'm just messing with you.
Yes, you're good at that. I'm good. So we and I went from that to The Watchers, which it really tapped into something in my heart. And it just made me realize that we have a responsibility, definitely being on camera, to choose a platform, whatever that platform is. And the more followers you have on Instagram, the platform gets higher and higher.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a microphone, I think it's up to you to say something. And if it's from your heart, it's of value. I realized when I was doing this faith-based series that I am strong in my faith. I am Southern. I am a Christian. And in this industry, saying I'm a Christian, sometimes people go, oh, you're one of those. I'm like, no, I just have my beliefs. I have my faith. And it doesn't make me culty. I think it makes me nice. They talked a lot about that. And I realized I want to gravitate more towards something that means something.
Of course.
And the Watchers, it doesn't beat you over the head with the Bible, but it does have values and it does have a point. Mm-hmm. And the point is, you know, is not how fast you can drive or how many people that you can shoot, which is fine. And I go to see those, but I want to do something that leaves more of a positive footprint. Mm-hmm. And now that's like my mission. And I'll do projects that interest me that come my way, but I'm seeking more projects out that make a difference. And so when you put it out there, and I talk a lot about the universe, and just the universe is so good, and just listen to it, because it whispers, and you don't fight it. And if you go with it, good things happen. I'm here, and this was my calling me saying, can you do this? And I'm like, it's the right thing to do. It's just the right thing to do, because she's the right person. And so I put it out to the universe that this is what I more of what I want to do. I want people to be inspired to do what they choose to do, whatever it may be. They can do it, and if I can do it, anyone else can do it. And you never knew that, you never believed that, you heard it. Yeah, if I can do it, you can do it. It's like a pitch man, but no, and it's true, because I'm a small town Southern boy, and I said I want to be an actor. And my mother, God bless her, Thelma, we've talked about Thelma, said, Kevin, you could do anything you want to do because you're Kevin Porter. And I said, you're right, Mama. And so she said, you just go out there and you knock on Steven Spielberg's door and you say, I'm Kevin Porter. I'm Thelma's son.
That very is blessed. Something. That ride or die, that someone who has your back no matter what, that is something irreplaceable.
I want to be everyone's ride or die.
Yeah.
I want to believe in everyone and empower everyone. Never underestimate the power that you give someone just by believing in them. Being that guy that gives them that moment to where they're like, I'm not wrong. I can do this. Because Kevin believed in me. Because Anna believed in me. I can do it. Just one person. And then also just dare to be great. Dare to fail. Dare to be, confident enough to say, I am great. I am great. And I don't see anything wrong with that. Because one thing I learned when I came to this industry is they don't hire schleps. They don't hire mediocre. They don't hire really good. They hire the best. And if you come to this industry and you think you're good enough, you're not. You have to be the best.
Right.
The best. And the best at what? I don't know. The best redheaded dude that can throw bricks? I don't know. The best at what they're looking for. I am the best at that. And so I draw the bullseye around the arrow, mm-hmm. so to speak. So I see what I have, and then I go, okay, good. Who's looking for that? Oh, yeah, there you go. And I bring that over here.
It always makes sense to be where you're needed or wanted, where fits for you, and not trying to push yourself into a situation that is not right for you because you think you want that. I think your message is very strong, and it's something that I do. I do a daily inspirational quote on my mm-hmm. stories. And I'm always saying, you really should never succumb to that who do you think you are problem. Mm-hmm. Because the biggest who do you think you are problem is you.
Yeah.
It's not the other people saying, who do you think you are? They may say that or not. But if you really don't think you're worthy of whatever it is you're going after, mm-hmm. then you won't do it because you will sabotage yourself, right? So the biggest voice that you need to hear is your own, believing in yourself.
Oh.
And so I love your message. It really resonates with me. That and the universal flow. I've got my office manager in here. She knows if things mm-hmm. are flowing a certain way and everything's popping, we do mm-hmm. it. If things are just, everything's a problem. Today's not the day. Today the flow's not with us.
Some things are worth fighting for and some things are not meant to be. And a wise person catches on quickly. And you have to have an intuition. I get by on my intuition of people. I read energies. I feel energies. And I know the people that I love immediately. Yeah. I love all of you guys. But I also know the people that kind of, and honestly, 98% of the people are wonderful, but the 2%, you'll go, that's weird. Stay away from that person. And they may not be a jerk or not. There's this one thing you touched on is us not believing that we're worthy. And there's something that I went through when I was younger, and I didn't even, if you wait long enough, they're going to label it. They're just going to label it. big toe syndrome, whatever it may be. They're
going to
find
a label for it. Are you judging us doctors for labeling stuff?
If it comes from the doctors, then it comes from the doctors. But when I was in high school, I played football. I was very blessed. I was tall. I was athletic. I had good hair. It was the 80s.
You still have good hair.
A lot of times people ask me now, who are my heroes? I say, my friends. My friends are my heroes. Because mm-hmm. I support them. They support us. I create this barrier around myself of positive, supportive people that would die for me. And I would die for them. And like sometimes I'll hashtag run with lions. My mother would say, birds of a feather flock together. You lay with dog, you get fleas. Things like that. And when you're younger, you don't know what that means. But that means surround yourself with greatness. Surround yourself with your heroes. And so I did that when I was in high school. And I'm looking at all the other football players. And we're sitting there at the cool table. And I'm eating that great pizza, those square pizzas that we used to get when we were little. And then, but I would look at Ricky Slate and BJ Gazzoni and all of these guys. And they're my heroes. I looked up to them. But they're my contemporaries. And I was always afraid that they would look at me and go, Porter, what's Porter doing here? Porter, go over there with the nerds. You don't belong here.
Imposter syndrome.
That's the label. That's exactly it. It's imposter syndrome. And then I hear about it later and I go, that's what I had.
Yeah.
And then I went, no, they're lucky to be around me. And then everything shifted. And I'm like, I am a gift and no one has given me anything. And I've worked at 16, 17. I worked hard to be where I was. I worked hard to be where I am now. And we are all gifts, and I am just one of the many gifts that other people receive in their life. And once I heard that term, and I'm like, that's what I had. I had imposter syndrome. I just was like insecure, but I was hoping that no one would find me out. And once I realized that, I'm like, I had it made. I was driving an MG, a convertible. I had good hair. I was player of the week twice.
I mean, and you
imposter.
You weren't even faking it till you make it. You actually made it, but you didn't even know.
You didn't even know it because
I was owning it in your heart.
I was constantly living up to what I thought that they wanted or what they were when I was a better version of me than I could have been of them. And once that happened, and that was maybe 10 years ago, things started to turn, things started to change. Then I started owning my greatness and say, okay, yeah, maybe I am all that, and within reason. And so you have to have that swagger in this industry and in the city, and to just push yourself through the resistance. You don't have to have it when you're home. When you're back in Louisiana, you're just like, hey.
And yeah, so, Louisiana is an easy crowd.
It's a low bar.
That easy crowd.
It's a low bar.
I mean, I'm not saying it's a low bar.
I can't because I'm from there.
Maybe
they're my
they
peeps.
Just have their finger on the pulse. They know what life is all about.
When I mean a low bar is expectations that others have of you. They're just living their own life.
Right.
And that's what I love.
Yeah. Here they want to know, who are you? Are you a producer? Are you this? Are you that? What can you do for me? Who are you? But I mean, not everybody, but it's a totally different culture. It's a totally different culture than Louisiana.
I don't like it.
I don't like it.
Uh-oh. I don't. Well, I don't.
There's a lot of...
I like the work. I like the people. You people. But also, there's always this low-level frequency that's right there that, you put on yourself. You're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what my next project is. And there's that fear. Mm-hmm. And then you find yourself just in this community that you wouldn't normally associate with if not for the fear of not working.
Yeah.
And so I just put it out there to the universe. And I just got a call today from a gentleman. He's a fan. And about, you know, ask if I'd be interested in this project. I'm like, sure, whatever. Whenever they reach out to me directly, I give them enough respect to answer directly and not send them to my agent because I don't know, I'm flattered. And so then I looked him up. He does some pretty good films, really good films. And I'm like, yeah. And then suddenly, you know, because at first I was like, yeah, sure, send me the information. I'm like, well, dang, okay, let's do that. Shoots out of town, but it's just being open, putting the positive energy out there, and it always comes back. I always say, I teach an acting class, And I say, don't lose your dignity ever. Don't compromise your dignity. Don't chase rolling nickels. Mm-hmm. There's no dignity in that. You're on your ground. You know, you're just chasing rolling nickels, trying to get that nickel before it goes under the couch. Just preserve your dignity. Have grace. Have elegance. Yeah. Those are my favorite words. My hope and hope and faith and joy are my favorite words, but dignity and elegance and grace are great as well.
It is interesting because I tell young people all the time, like you're saying, don't chase the nickels. I tell them, don't go after the money. Go for the thing that will give you the experience you need, that you want, that will help you to your next goal. So you may do something completely unpaid, uh-huh. but you will learn so much more than something that for your age group yeah. might pay you well, yeah. but that's not what you want to do. That's not your future. So it's about really trying to hone your skills mm-hmm. and getting better at whatever it is you do and learning about life instead of how much money you make, especially when you're really young. Mm-hmm. And then as you get older, obviously you have responsibilities and you have to make money. But you were talking about fear. And I always feel like fear is the biggest thing that we need to not overcome, but bypass. Like I think fear is the most dangerous thing mm-hmm. for humans. It's not good. It causes us to react. It causes mm-hmm. us to harm others. It causes mm-hmm. us to compete. Mm-hmm. And I really don't think that there's a winner and a loser in life. Everybody could be a winner. Mm-hmm. Everybody's in their own niche. Mm-hmm. And so fear is definitely something that I intentionally meditate on letting go of. Let go of fear. You're mm-hmm. going to be fine. Especially in the society we're in right now, there's really, yeah. we don't really need to be fearful. We're not living mm-hmm. like cavemen did. Yes. And there were like all these dangers.
We're not going to have a pterodactyl sweep down and
yeah,
eat us.
Nothing's going to happen. I mean, yes. within reason. Yes. So there's a lot of anxiety. Yeah. A lot of people complaining about anxiety, and I feel like it's a symptom of having a lot of free time or whatever it is. But
are there more people that have anxiety now than they did when we were little?
They had different names for it, and they were popping pills too back uh-huh. then. There were all kinds of benzos and Valium, and a lot of people were on drugs for what we now call anxiety. JFK was on benzos.
I read that.
I read that in his biography. Yes. Yeah.
Can we talk about fear? Can we get back to fear?
Yeah, let's get back to fear. That's fine.
There are two schools of fear. Some people say you take fear and you use fear. Mm-hmm. I think that in Creed 1, which is one of my least favorite Rocky movies, but he says that fear is your friend. He calls him Freddy Fear. I'm with you. I'm fearless. I'm fearless because I don't have time. If I can quote Predator. I don't have time to bleed. I think that was Jesse the Body Ventura. Ventura said that.
I lived in Minnesota when he was governor.
How was that? Okay. So I don't have time to bleed.
We're not talking politics on my podcast.
I don't have the energy to be afraid because you have to, as I said before, push through that resistance mm-hmm. and you have to create this juggernaut of confidence that is fed by competence and you push through it. And fear to me is just, it's just the unknown or things that you can't control, mm-hmm. like health issues. Some people fear, but those are things you can't control. Certain things, most things, some things, a few. And so I agree with you on fear. I think that people react out of fear and fear drives negativity. And the words that I don't like, I talked about the words I like, toxicity, negativity. I don't like the word darkness. There are other words I don't like, but I won't say them. But
why not? We're on a podcast. I want you to say everything.
I don't like the word fart. I don't like the word fart.
That is such a fun word.
I like passing gas or tooting or pooting. I don't like the word fart.
In fact, I have an app on my phone. It's called iFart.
Okay.
Well, sorry about that word, but
it's a wonderful thing about America.
It is it's
a diverse country.
It's literally every different kind of
That's what you do in your downtime? Do you make fart noises? That's what we do.
Like there's one that's like the drowning mosquito. There's like the something burrito.
How many of these have you gone through? How much free time do you have?
Honestly, I think I've listened to everyone. And
you're
scuba
diving, you're making fart noises.
Honestly, the app has like an option for you to make your own fart sound. Oh, this is the best thing about that app. And I do not get paid by them. The best thing is that you can launch a fart on a timer. Sorry about the word. And then you can put it in your friend's pocket or next to them, wherever they're sitting at the dinner table. And it's on a timer. And it suddenly, out of the blue, will fart. And it sounds like they farted. That's the best laugh ever. Okay. I'm sorry that you don't like that word.
I have no problem with the act. Surprisingly enough, I think the act is biological. I just prefer the poot, toot, pass gas, ripped one.
Oh, you even like that one, huh?
I don't mind ripped one.
Ripped one.
But yeah.
Cut the cheese?
Love that one.
Cut the cheese.
All right, who cut the cheese? And then in the classic, he who smelt it, dealt it.
He who smelt it, dealt it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, so is this first time that you talked about this on your...
Yeah, I think this is our first time talking about farts. Okay. I have a word I don't like, but I don't want you to launch into it.
Is it the moist word?
Yes!
Yeah, I knew it. Yes.
I don't know
when did that fall out of favor?
I hate it.
We used to say that in Duncan Hines commercials.
I know, Duncan Hines.
Duncan Hines.
And I even like that cake.
Yes.
But the word.
When did that fall out of favor? I like the word moist. I think it's descriptive. I think of a chocolate cake, and it's just scrumptious.
No.
Delicious.
Okay, good. Keep saying other words, any word
then
other than
don't. Okay, got you. Fair enough. Okay, let's.
It's okay.
Let's do this.
I got you with the F word a lot of times.
Let's do this.
I got you back.
In our presence,
in advance.
In our presence, I will not use the M word if you not use the F word.
Deal.
Friendship pocket. there are certain words that I just don't like, and that's one of them. Lie is another one. I don't like the word liar.
Lie.
I don't like the word hate. Negative words. Liar. I said, you're not being truthful.
Well, there's a word I don't like at work. It's called the O word. Because I do anti-aging. A lot of people say they look. And I say, you're not allowed to say that word in my presence.
You know what I say? I say, if you could put an on the end of there, I'm cool with that. Well, you look old. Okay. I can deal with that. I can go because I could be honestly older than a
5-year-old.
I'm older than a 5-year-old.
There you go.
Yeah,
it's all relative. Everything's relative.
Yes. Another thing I don't like. I don't like qualifiers.
Well, how old are you? No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
That's okay.
Do not answer that question.
No, I'm happy to admit.
And do not ask me that question.
No. Once I finally turned 30 2 years ago, I learned to embrace it. Okay? So I have no problem with my age at all. So qualifiers. I don't like maybe, sorta, kinda. I'll do my best. I'll try. We'll see.
Mm.
Those drive me crazy because those are all contracts for failure. All because it's a yes or no. Can you do this? Yes or no? Well, we'll see. I'll try my best. Maybe, kinda. Just be committed on what you're saying.
Yeah.
Own it. Make it happen. Feel it. Be truthful.
Mm-hmm.
But I like yes and no. Can you do that? Yes. Or no is great. No is even better than a yes because you know for a fact you will make no come true. You know, so can you do that? No. Gotcha. I got it.
I like that. I want to learn from that because I am guilty of that. I don't like to say no to people. So even if I'm not sure, I like to say I'm not sure all the way till the last second and then be like, no. And it's a horrible habit. And I really shouldn't be that way. But that's just how I am.
Do you say sometimes?
And you are right. You're like that because we called you to be on this podcast and you said yes.
Absolutely.
And that's
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And it was, are you sure? Is he sure? Can you
I didn't need to check my schedule.
I love it.
Sadly.
No, we're excited to have you here.
No, sadly, I knew I was open. I knew I was open. I got nothing. I went through a ton of your videos.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Which one did you like the best?
Oh my gosh. There are a lot of you dancing. There's a lot of you dancing. You're a big dancer, which
I love dancing. Yeah.
There was one you're just taking something out of somebody's face. It was some
assist.
That's another word.
Is that another word he doesn't like? Oh no.
Please don't say that word anymore.
Cyst.
There has to be a technical term you could use besides cyst.
That is a technical term.
Really?
Epidermal cyst? Sorry.
Let's say epidermal.
Every time he tells me he doesn't like a word, I just say it about 20 more times.
Well, because they just look so moist.
Ew!
And bloody.
Bloody, right. I don't care. You can say bloody.
Yeah.
What about pussy? Do you like that word?
I don't like the visual. I just see you getting all up there with those needles. I'm like, whoa. And these girls that you have are just champions. They're not flinching. They're not doing anything. They're just smiling. And you're just, you know, you're talking about Cardi B or whatever it is you talk about.
That's
you know,
right.
How about that new Cardi B video?
WAP? So obviously he has been watching my Instagram.
Oh, absolutely.
I do a lot of injectable treatments, yes, fillers, Botox, yes, and beauty treatments.
You are one of 100 people that I follow. That's not
a lot.
Oh,
I am so honored.
And I think I'm going to reduce
Kevin that. Porter is following me now.
Big fan.
My life is complete.
Big fan.
Well, I follow you too.
I know. I saw that. I was on the bike. I was on the bike and I'm like, who's that? And I'm like, oh,
I saw the post-op video of you on YouTube. Post-op kidney stuff.
Oh, you saw that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I had major kidney reconstruction surgery. And if I could speak in technical terms, medical terms, I'll dumb it down for you. So there's a ureter that comes out of the kidney, and my ureter was too small, so I hear. And as it comes out of the kidney, and it was creating this blockage, also known as like massive kidney stones, huge, like they look like Klingon warrior clubs. And so they had to cut the ureter here and then like literally cut like the housing unit of the ureter from my kidney, pull it out, and then reconstruct the...
Did you get hydronephrosis, the big enlarged kidney?
Yeah.
You did?
No.
No?
You're using... Now you're turning big words around
on me. You got a kidney stone blocking
yes,
your
yes,
ureter.
Yes, filled up.
And filled up your kidney. Yeah.
And so, those yes, are painful. I got that word. Whatever it was that you said, I'm sure I had.
Hydronephrosis. Yeah.
That's water.
It's when your urine backs up into your kidneys.
Okay. We're not
and
there yet.
We're not there yet.
Please don't talk about my urine. Please. This is going to be seen by people.
Okay, we're not going to talk about
it. It's going to be seen by my Aunt Betty.
Okay, well,
basically. She watches everything.
His pipes were like blocked.
But not further down, higher up.
Not the kind you guys are thinking of. But
not
like,
the Aretha Franklin.
Oh my God. Okay.
Much higher up. So yeah, I was in there for
Uretha. Not the urethra, the ureter.
I thought it was a urethra.
Ureters are the two big.
Oh, I know. That's what I said. I said that right.
And then the urethra is the one that
Aretha
goes down
Franklin
into
is the pee pee hole.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, gotcha. I didn't know that we'd be talking about this.
Okay, we don't have to talk about it.
Somebody brought it up.
I brought it up. Okay. I said I saw your post-op video. That's all I said.
Wasn't it nice? I was on
it
drugs.
It was very
when I did,
nice.
I was on drugs when I.
Oh my God, that's what makes you so. You like came across so natural, and you said you were gonna get the Joker.
I got
like
him.
This, and you pointed your finger right
at
the
Joker.
Camera.
I would like for everyone to go to YouTube and look up "Dying Is Easy." Okay, please.
Six million views.
Does it sound the same when I do it?
You have to get real close.
I would like everybody to check out YouTube.
I would like everyone to check out YouTube. Okay, hold on.
I would like everybody to check out my podcast.
I'm a doctor.
I'm Batman.
All right. Okay. I think we got that. Yeah.
I killed the Joker.
I don't kill. Batman doesn't kill.
He doesn't kill.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
He beats him up. He puts him away. Nice research. I did not kill.
I Joker. Said, I don't know anything about Batman.
How do you not know anything about Batman? Can I ask you some questions?
I don't know.
What is Batman's? First of all. What color does Batman wear?
Black. Okay, I know that. He has a Batmobile. It's really sexy.
Don't volunteer answers to questions that haven't been asked. All right. You're like, look how smart I am. Right, look how smart I am. I know all the answers. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
This is a big one.
Okay.
What happened to Batman when he was a child?
His parents died.
So good. I'm so proud of you. Okay. What car does Batman drive?
The Batmobile.
There you go. What is Batman's little sidekick buddy?
Robin.
You know more than
I know Batman.
Okay. Let's leave it at that. You're 100%.
That's it. I got 100 just like
there you
med
go.
School.
Here you go. I want to tell a story. Can I tell a story? The first gig that I ever booked was for X-Files. That's how I got my SAG card. It was for a motivational speaker. So I go in, nail it, because at this point, I worked at Merrill Lynch prior to becoming an actor. Mm-hmm. I was in marketing. And I would get up there, I would write all the product information, and I would give out there and give presentations to the financial consultants up in Princeton. Big deal. I was. So I went up there, and it was in my wheelhouse, and I knew I had it. And so I ended up getting cast, and my agent was like, you're not even union, and they cast you. They got Taft Hartley. That's a big deal. I said, okay. And then so I show up. It was at Pico. We shot at Fox. And I'm just, I've been here for maybe a year, and I'm looking at all of the buildings. And I go in the makeup, and we're listening to Smooth by Santana, which was brand new at the time. And with Rob Thomas. And then we go out on set, and then I look, and there's a lot of people there. I hear people. I'm like, what's that noise? Sounds like a crowd. There's a crowd there. There's like 100 people, and they're all sitting in chairs, and they're facing a stage where I realize quickly that I'm going to be on that stage talking to these people as these little things are pointed at me called cameras that are going to be shot out to millions of people. And then I have like my Michael Jackson moment where the camera pulls back, and I'm like, okay. And I'm like, okay, I can do this. And I get up there, and they put the little Michael Jackson mic on me, or, you know, and so, and I start. All right, Kevin, you're doing great. Exterior. And
action.
Self-discipline. Huh. That's the name of this game. But it's the one thing that you can't do with that. All right, cut. Let's do it again. Take it up. All right. Okay. Kev, you ready? Yeah, I'm ready. Okay. Self-discipline, huh? Where do you get it? You can't go to the grocery store and buy it. You can't order it over the internet, so where does it come from? Cut, I'm coming down. The director comes down, and she said, Kevin, can I talk to you for a second? I said, yeah. And he goes like, Kevin, you got this? I said, yeah. He said, then do it. Loved it. Loved it, because he said, do it. Failure's not an option. We hired you for a reason. Get up there and do it. Earn your take. Because for 7 hours, 8 hours, you had hardworking men that are getting paid one-tenth of what you're getting paid, lighting it. You had hardworking men making a tenth of what you're making, building this set. You have a job to do, and that's to recite 2 minutes of dialogue that you've had for 3 weeks. Do your job. Loved it, because at the time, and I never victimized, especially myself. And I went, you're right. And I was embarrassed and I was angry. And I went up there and I was just popping it out. Mm-hmm. Once failure becomes possible, it becomes probable. Failure was not an option. And that's what I teach my students, is you have people that are working a lot harder than you, and they work to make you look a certain way. Now it's time, because you've been in your trailer for 4 hours mm-hmm. playing, you know, PlayStation.
Yeah.
So get out here and do your job. And he said that.
Yeah.
And that's my mantra, is just do your job. It's also Bill Belichick's for the Patriots. Big fan.
I love it.
Yeah.
Our inspirational quote of this time will be,
just do your job.
Just do your job.
Don't but suck.
I like the other one.
Just don't suck.
Once failure becomes, just don't suck at it.
Yeah, just
don't,
yeah.
Very important.
Yeah, once failure becomes possible, it becomes probable. Mm-hmm. And if you give yourself an escape hatch, you will use it. You
Is that
will
your
use
quote?
It. Yeah, I wrote that.
Love it. We're going to write that down.
I felt
everywhere.
So cocky when I went, yeah, I wrote that.
I love it. You
no, meaning,
feel cocky about
I just,
it. It's a good quote.
Well, I write stream of consciousness on my Instagram. And sometimes I'm very proud. Actually, I'm always proud of it, because it comes from my heart. And if I write one thing that one person can read in Idaho or the Philippines or whatever that says, I needed to read that today, mm-hmm. then I feel like I've been successful, like I've done something good for the day.
So there's one question I ask every guest, okay. And that's, what is your definition of beauty?
Love. Love.
Love it. Very simple. Yeah.
It's my secret weapon, is love.
It's your secret weapon.
Yeah, love everyone. Love everyone. Everyone that you, well, see, I go off, I start talking, I'm sorry. But everyone that you meet, whether it's at the DMV or Ralph's, you're going to have a 14-second exchange with this person. Mm-hmm. Give them 100% of you, and it'll make you better. It'll surprise them, because you're making eye contact. You're asking how their day is. And it's not like I'm going to ask everyone how their day is. Invest. They're the most important person in the world for those 22 seconds. And if it's longer, it's longer. It makes the world a better place. It makes my world a better place. And if it makes theirs, then that's great. Love.
Love it. Tell us your Instagram handle.
The
Kevin.
Kevin Porter. It's like a title.
The Kevin Porter.
I used to say the, but then people go, the? No, the. So and the doesn't have the panache that the Kevin Porter. The Kevin Porter.
You gotta follow. You guys have to follow.
It would be nice. You know what would be nice? You don't have to follow.
Yes, follow.
Just send me a message and go, hey, caught your appearance on the podcast and I was entertained, got something out of it. That would be nice. I like getting messages. I do.
At the Kevin Porter, you guys follow him.
This is
the Dr. Beauty Podcast. Make sure you tell him which podcast you heard him on.
Yes.
Thanks so much, Kevin, for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.